My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 20, And Spirit Makes Three. I didn't want to wake Denise the next morning. Between the beer and the late night, I knew she'd be in a rotten mood if she didn't get her beauty sleep, so I snuck out as quietly as I could, to get a cup of coffee. The streets were already filled with music and dancing and the rhythms of the drums. The festival atmosphere rushed me in the middle of the street, and carried me along with it, even a recluse like me. Life unfolded in all its joy, Fiona, and it looked so effortless, as if all its tribulations and cares were nothing but another performance at the festival. I had a sudden insight into the lightness of being, which my sister seems to understand so well. You just don't think about it, you get up, go out and live, that's it. No expectations, no reservations, no past. I always thought of living in the now as some sort of gimmick people who have no plans like to pass for life philosophy. And I'm a little embarrassed by that now, when the collective life of Kirkwall flows through me, making me part of everything. The rhythm of the drums induced some sort of trance, muffling the other sounds and sharpening my hearing. I got a little lightheaded from the bright light and the sounds, so I grabbed an outdoor table at the corner cafe, ordered an espresso, and closed my eyes to clear my head. There was no darkness behind my eyelids, Fiona, just another world, your world, maybe. Someone was carried through the streets behind the bars of some sort of cart, a woman, if I were to guess. It's hard to tell because she's crumbled on the bottom of the cart, trying to find shelter in the hay, while the crowd pelts her with rocks and rotten fruit. I want to open my eyes to escape this scene, but there is something inside me that commands me to stay and experience it. I follow the cart in my mind, and everything is so realistic, as if I were there. I can feel the elbows shoving me and the shoulders knocking me about, as eager people force their way through the crowd to see better. We're approaching St. Magnus and the mob gets agitated, anticipating the spectacle. Please don't make me watch this, Fiona. I beg you, don't make me watch this. It's not even from your time. It looks like it could be my potential cellmate through the centuries. Poor Janet Forsyth. What are you doing with her? Let her go. Let her go. I want to scream, but this is not my time, Fiona. And much as I cry, I can't change the past. Please don't make me watch. They dragged out Janet from the cart and she faltered on her feet when her knees gave out, and two men dragged her up by the arms and carried her inside the church. She passed right by me, so close I could feel her labored breath, and as I struggled through the crowd trying to follow the men who carried her, she turned towards me and looked me straight in the eyes, with a sharp gaze that contained all the power of her soul, as if she wanted to give me it to carry and protect, and keep away from all the pain and savagery. The strength of her soul hit me so hard I jerked backwards and opened my eyes, shocked to find myself in the peaceful and joyful atmosphere of the festival, with the espresso in front of me. The server probably thought I fell asleep sitting and didn't want to wake me. How mortifying! I feel a little strange now. I don't know if it's the hangover from last night, even if I only had one beer, or staying up late, or the white nights. I feel the same, but bigger somehow, still dizzy but filled with power, newborn behind my eyes and watching this life for the first time. Can I get you anything else, miss? I'm sorry? I looked so confused, the server gave me a strange look and told me she'd return later. How is this possible, Fiona? Much as I tried to rationalize it, there is no plausible explanation for these experiences, which were a part of my life as far back as I can remember, and maybe it's time to admit that I am. Oh, how I avoided this label, a medium. I could never adjust to the term, and never mention it out loud. These are experiences you don't discuss. What would be the point? Who would believe me, or care, that I had a seminal moment with a condemned witch who died 4 centuries ago? Why waste breath talking about it, anyway? How nice of you to abandon me in the room alone, Denise brooded from behind and dropped into one of the chairs with noise, to make her point.
You should talk.
I retorted. Did you get me anything? She asked, and watched me shake my head no. I want coffee, and sandwiches, and fruit. I'm starving. She lifted her eyes from the menu and gave me a weird look.
What's with you?
What do you mean? You look, I don't know, lost.
It's nothing.
Eat, Ethel, you look like a ghost caught in the sunlight. What's the schedule for the day? More rehearsals?
No, we're good. I'm all yours, sister. Hey, do you want to go to the cathedral, see if we can talk to Mr. Sinclair again?
No.
I recoiled, because no amount of willpower was going to make me revisit the setting of the earlier scene, even if it was centuries later. Fine, Denise was taken aback by my reaction. We're not going if you don't want to. We can do whatever you want.
What do you want?
I want to go to the seawall, I surprised myself, because that would have been the last place on my mind, and now that I said it, I couldn't think of anywhere else I wanted to go.
Sure, Denise said. Let's go.
I jumped out of my chair before she had time to react and started hurriedly towards the port, with my sister running behind me. I don't know how, but my instinct guided me through alleys and shortcuts I didn't know existed, as if I'd made this trip before. So many times it got recorded in my muscle memory, the way we drive home the same way every day, and can barely remember the details of how we got there. My feet carried me so fast Denise couldn't keep up, faster and faster as if the sea drew me towards it with an unseen force, and I only slowed down when we reached the rocks on the shore, battered by the waves. I stopped, looking into the distance for a boat, maybe, as I did before, many times, so many times, until my heart went dry and my eyes blurry, and I couldn't see straight through the tears.
Louise, what's wrong?
Denise grabbed my arm, seriously worried.
Nothing, it's nothing. Please, I just need a moment. I'll be fine.
Denise didn't comment. She just sat me down on the edge of the seawall and held me while I sobbed uncontrollably for absolutely no reason at all. The tears lifted the weight off my heart and the breeze carried it out to sea, past the horizon.
We can go now, I turned towards my sister, smiling.
She didn't ask me, still freaked out by my episode, because she didn't want whatever it was to turn worse, but I answered her unasked question anyway, to reassure her.
I released her. I'll be fine now.
Released, who?
I think I had a guest, from another time.
Denise was still probing me, unconvinced, not knowing what to do. So I reminded her she wanted to listen to the drummers, and I knew where to find them.
You owe me breakfast. I had to run after you and didn't get a single bite,
and I want something warm.
A scone, maybe?
I nodded and guided her forward, and for the life of me, as I walked behind her, it was as if I've never seen the road that brought us there before.
May the sea bring you rest, Janet. I hope you can finally find peace. I sent a quiet thought to my unexpected passenger, and it made Denise turn around.
Did you say something? She stared me straight in the eyes, and I felt exposed, wondering if there was any piece of Janet left that her scrutiny might reveal.
No. No, I didn't say anything. Not out loud, anyway.
I could swear I heard you talking to somebody.
Jenny? Jana?
Listen, Ethel, you're going full basket case and you're dragging me with you. I feel like I'm hearing voices now.
I didn't tell her anything about Janet, just mumbled something like maybe she heard some tourists talking in the street and she pretended to believe me because she didn't have another white lady experience in her for that day.
Truthfully, I didn't either. After delivering the weight of grief and pain my unfortunate guest had entrusted me with, I wanted to sing and to dance and to enjoy my life, my wonderful, precious, rich and fleeting life.